Praise God. Oh, I tell you. Amen. I want to ask you, Dustin, how was the harvest coming in? It's going well. We prayed for you last Sunday. I know I told you that on the phone, but amen. So it's coming in. We pray that it would come in quickly. We try and we're coming in quickly. Your harvest just rice? Is that what it is? Just rice? Anything else besides, you know, I know you do crawfish and stuff, but just rice is the main thing. Okay. Because I've seen a lot of rice farmers all over just cutting, trying to get it in. So, but God has given you favor. God's going to move upon that. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. He's a faithful God. Faithful is He. Remember that. You get up in the morning, faithful is He. You go to bed at night, faithful is He. He's a faithful God, people. No matter what we go through, He's there with us, encouraging us, helping us, being with us. That's the power of Almighty God, my Lord. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 as we do our scripture reading. For the church scripture reading, we're continuing in chapter 2, page 1903. You might say, why don't you do the page? Because a lot of people, the ones I give, it's that page. And so, Bible, so it's easy to get to. And now you can see it on the TV too up there. So, starting with verse 25, okay, because we read last week from 1 to 24. So we're starting with 26, I'm sorry, we read up to 25. 26, okay? Now this is the time that we read together, okay? So I need to hear you a little bit. That doesn't mean, you know, you don't need to shout, but, you know, just read it like you would normally read, you know. And you might say, what if I make a mistake? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. So what? So what? At least get the word in your heart and life. Amen. Verse 26. Everyone's there. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall reap in hope, rest in hope. Verse 27, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Verse 28, you have made known unto me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. 31. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. 32. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said of himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Praise God. 35. Until I make your foes your footstool. 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both the Lord and Christ. 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves for this untoward generation. 41. Then they who gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. 44. And all who believed were together and had all things common. 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and the breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meals with gladness and singleness of heart. 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you would take your Bibles as we make our declaration before Him. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We do want to welcome everyone here, and I know everybody that's watching, we do want to welcome you, and we pray that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to your heart and soul, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would be upon your heart and upon your life. You know, the body of Christ, God has instituted in the body of Christ through the scriptures many ordinances, it's called. And an ordinance that has been given, and we're going to talk about a few of them, is just a symbolic act of obedience to God's commands. There are many things in scripture, and you know, I'm going to just go over some of the basic ones that God has put into effect, the ordinances that God has put upon the church, and these things are to be done by the body of Christ. We are to obey God's word and plant that word deep within our hearts. You might say, well, what if I don't agree with what the word of God says? Well, we've all probably have come to that place where at some point in time, we read something in the scripture and we say, oh, no. or, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Whatever it is, you know. And look, thank God for the word of God that keeps us on the right track. You know, keeps us in tune with what he wants to do and where he is going by the Holy Ghost. Always remember this. The Holy Spirit will never tell you something that is contrary to the word of God. So, you know, anytime somebody comes and says, God spoke to me, which is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, speaking to his people, it will never be contrary to the word of God. If it is, that means, you know, we, even myself, did not hear God clearly. You know, either it came from myself, from my own imagination, or whatever it may be, you know. But, you know, God has put into effect many ordinances for the church. And like I said earlier, those ordinances are symbolic acts of obedience to God's command. One of the things that he talks about, and I'm going to just mention a little bit, is about being water baptized. God says we're to be water baptized. That is a command. Now, it does not mean that if you're not water baptized, that you won't go to heaven. Amen. You know, but it does say we need to do it. Okay. That's an ordinance of the church, the body of Christ. It's saying we need to be water baptized. Okay. Because you see, the only thing that will bring us to heaven and the only door is Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is what opens the door to heaven. I know we read in Acts, it was talking about hell, how David said, I was in hell. It doesn't mean the burning side of hell, okay? There are different parts of hell. David was in a part called paradise, okay? That was a grace part of hell that God allowed for people that loved him to had to go there because Jesus hadn't died yet in the Old Testament, even part of the New. So he had to allow them to go there, and they had to stay there, okay? But when Jesus died upon Calvary's cross, he went there and he took them and he brought them back or back to heaven or to heaven. Okay, so there's no more paradise. It's not there. The doors have been closed. There's no occupancy there at all. It's done with. You see, the choice we make is here upon the earth today. So, you know, God is talking about water baptism. That's one of them. Number two talks about communion. God instituted communion. It is to be done. It doesn't say how many times you have to do it. It just says do it in remembrance of me in the scriptures. So we do it in remembrance of him. We do it once a month. Some churches do once a month. Some churches do every week. Some churches do once a year. Some churches do every 6 months. Whatever it is. You know, it doesn't say how many times you have to do it, okay? So if somebody comes to you and says, well, the scripture says you have to do it every week, or you have to do it every month, or you have to do it, that's not true. It says do it in remembrance of me. Because you see, it's to remember what Christ did as we took communion this morning. To remember. Really, you know what it is? Oh, she's going to get in trouble. Really, what it is to remember what Christ did on Calvary's cross. Who embarrassed her. Remembering what Christ is. It's really to refocus the church. Because you see, he instituted communion so that as the church would go day by day, they wouldn't lose focus on who they were supposed to serve. Who were they in it for? We are to serve Christ with everything within us. We're to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to give everything to him. Everything to him, and leave nothing on the table, saying, I want this, Lord. You can have this, but not this. Give it to him all, and God will work things out. So he instituted that communion for us to be focused back on him, to get us focused back on the cross of Calvary. We started at the cross. We need to stay at the cross of Calvary. I'm not talking so much about the wooden beam. I'm talking about what happened at the cross. The victory that was won. The anointing that was there. What Christ did at the cross in winning victory for you and I. That we don't have to be entangled with the things of this world that entangle our feet and arms and mind. But we can be set free by the power of the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. My Lord, we can be free because he says that he's come to set us free by his anointing as we place our trust in him. Like Andrew's, and Andrew, you did a great job with communion this morning. Amen. That was good. Some of the things that he said, I enjoyed it. Keeping our focus upon Christ. When the church focuses on anything except Christ. It could be money. It could be people. It could be possessions. It could be popularity. None of those things matter in the church of Almighty God. Now, it takes money to do things. It takes things to make things happen. And God, being so great at who he is, thought of not leaving us out in blessing us. In blessing us. I tell myself, well, Jelena, we always, every time we walk through that door, as far as church services, we're going to give something in that box. That's just what I do. Because God says, don't rob me of tithe and offerings. Not just the tithe, but the offerings too. We got to be careful. Don't rob him. You say, well, Lord, what do you want me to get? Hey, you just let God move in your heart and life. And that's in, you know, that's just, but in all aspects of life. So communion is a very important thing. We're to do it in remembrance of what Christ did at Calvary's cross. Jesus is the head of the church. Not government, not man, none of those things. But Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, and he's getting his will done according to the Father upon the earth, which the Holy Spirit is accomplishing on the earth. That's what we do, what God wants us to do in those areas. Number three, we talk about the one. Another thing is the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior. My Lord. My Lord. Our Lord and Savior was born of a virgin. She had never been with a man. And let me tell you, you can Google it in your phone. You can get all, and they'll tell you all kinds of things. Stay off of that stuff. Really. It'll confuse you. We believe what the Bible says because we know our God. He came in that way as a man. Can you imagine God who's been there forever? And I know that's hard for us to comprehend. Because everything in life that we know of has a beginning and an end. We got saved, you know, one day it'll end as far as when we get to heaven. We were born, we die, you know. Everything we have will one day go up in flames somehow. Or something will happen to it. You know, you have all, I know a lot of you have such nice homes, but I tell you what, just leave it alone for a year and let's see what happens. It'll go down the tubes. So everything has a beginning and an end, but a God that came in flesh. Can you imagine? Took on the form of flesh to come and be born of a virgin. And to live to 33 and a half years and be tortured to death. But he gave his life for us. But to give his life for us and to do it willingly because the Father wanted him to. Those things are things that we need to make sure that we stays as an ordinance of the church. Also, salvation. Salvation only through Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And also, the return of our Lord and Savior. The return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. He's coming back, people. You know, we have the three different views of all kinds of stuff. Some believe before, something in the middle, something in the mid-tribulation, something in the after, whatever. I just don't see that God would allow from Scripture, from what I read and study, that he would allow his church, the body of Christ, to go through any tribulation at all. I'm talking about the 7-year stuff, okay? Amen. And you might, you know, God says we'll have wars and rumors of wars to the end of time, people. Right. You know, things will happen. You know, all kinds of stuff will happen. Things are happening. I mean, you know, and it will continue because it's man. But we need to remember he's coming, and he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's more amazing to me than anything almost. Lord, how can you come? But you see, you have to realize this. God the Father looks to the church through Jesus Christ. He looks through the blood. And when he looks through the blood to the church, us, he sees a church without spot or wrinkle. Oh, my Lord. Makes you want to shout. You should have shouted then. That's how he looks at you. Without spot or wrinkle. You might say, I see a few. Oh, Lord. Yesterday I was driving, and the sun was, and I looked at my hands and I said, oh my God. I should have took off my glasses. I had these glasses on. I said, man, this is, oh no, Lord. I took them off. I was just kind of, okay. He looks at us without spot or wrinkle, people, because he sees the spirit man inside of you. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't want to clean you up, though, or clean me up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's where sanctification comes in. He needs to clean us up. He needs to. And clean us up in a way that will help us help us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Unto him. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. I think it's page 287. Thanks again for the great gift. I appreciate that. Brody, I've been watching you. I don't want you to take any books. You're watching for me? Thank you. Oh, Andrew, can you move them? Go put them in my vehicle, please. Amen. I appreciate you investing in my spiritual growth. Thank you for that great. I mean, those books are expensive. You know, I mean, I know sometimes you can get a sale here or there, but I mean, they cost. You know, things in life cost, you know. And, you know, Bibles cost, I mean, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you invest in people's lives because you love them. And you want to see great things happen. Amen. Numbers, look at chapter 17, verse page 287, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers. Of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. You write every man's name upon his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And you shall lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmured against you. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince one, according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. That means 13, okay? 12 plus Aaron's. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witnesses. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witnesses, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and blossoms and yielded almonds. Verse 9, and Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and you shall quite take away their murmurings from me, and they die not. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him. So he did he, and the children of Israel spoke unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. 13, whosoever comes against anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, shall we be consumed with dying. Here we see, we're talking about the ordinance of the churches, ordinances of the churches, of the church, well, not churches, the church, sorry about that. But here we see a unique story. When God places something in order, God can do what he wants to do. When God places a man or a woman in whatever position or whatever order that he wants, whatever, that's up to him. You see? Because who is the head of the church, the body of Christ? Jesus Christ, Jesus our Father, our Jesus or the Father. You know, they're all three. They're three, but yet one. So here we see the priesthood is about to start. And the priesthood is basically the tabernacle, okay? That's where, you know, sacrifices were made. That's where the laws were spoken of, the law of Moses. That's where, you know, instruction came from the word of God to the people. It's basically, you could say, a church roundabout, okay? That's where it happened. And so God spoke to Moses and told him that his brother Aaron was supposed to be the priest, the head priest of the church. That's why you have now, we don't have so much the priesthood anymore, because Jesus is the head high priest now. because of what he did at Calvary's cross. He is the high priest, and he sits now next to the Father in heaven on the right side of the Father. And so here we see that Aaron, you know, Moses chose him because God had told him who to get. And so here the people were saying, and you have the 12 tribes. Okay, then you have, you know, Aaron, you know, which is the priesthood of Levi. And so here we have the 12. They're murmuring, complaining, saying, well, I don't think it should be Aaron. You see? And God didn't like that. You see? See, we're going to have to learn as the body of believers, as the church, whatever, whoever God puts in place, that's up to him. And look, I know many of you, God has called you to do things. You know? And you might be looking at yourself saying, oh, Father, I'm not worthy. Well, who is? No one is worthy. It's Christ that makes us worthy through the grace and the mercy of his blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross. You see? He makes us worthy. And so what God calls you to do, you do it to the best of your ability. God has called me to pastor a church. That doesn't, there's teaching involved, there's pastoring, all those things happen. God has called me to pastor, and so I don't take it lightly at all. I try to do the best I can do, checking on people, helping, giving the word of the law of God to the people so that, you said, so that they will know what the word says, so that they can live the victorious life that God requires and wants them to live, that they're not living under bondage, but they're free, free, free. That doesn't mean free to sin. That means free of sin.
Amen.
Who? So here we see Moses just about had enough. And we really need to watch sometimes.
Yes,
put a lock on it every once in a while. And when I say that to you, I say that to me too.
Same.
You know what I'm saying? But it got to God. When it gets to God, say tu fini. That's it. It's enough. It's gone. You can't go any higher than him. Because he chose a man. And the people were saying, who you chose is not right. Ooh. You and I are in trouble when we say that. Now you might say, well, was Aaron, you know, maybe he was, you know, maybe he had some areas in his life that God had to work on. Okay. Well, who isn't in that club? Maybe there were some things that they didn't like. And maybe there were men and women, who knows, but it was going to be a man. But maybe there were men in these other tribes that were maybe better qualified, if you'd want to say that, on the earthly realm. But God doesn't look at qualification. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to grow in the things of God. We shouldn't, you know, go to school to better ourselves and do those things. But here we have Moses saying, I picked him, Lord, you told me. And now these people are murmuring, complaining, and saying, this is not the right one. And so God tells Moses, this is what I want you to do. See, God knows what to do, people. He said, let every one of them get a rod. That means a stick of some kind. Rod. And to put the name that they have, that they want, of the person, whoever it is, and the tribe. And he said, I want you to gather all of them out of the 12, and then I want you to bring Aaron's rod, which is 13. And he said, I want you to go into the tabernacle. And I want you to put it in the Holy of Holies there and leave it overnight. You might say, why would God do that? God can do what he wants to do. But you see, they had, you know, yes, maybe they were murmuring, complaining, but you know, God still sees their hearts. You know what I'm saying? God saw their hearts. How, yet maybe, you know, they were divided on this, but, and they thought it could have been somebody else maybe. But he still saw their heart. Maybe there was still a lot of good there. And so Moses does what God said. And look, getting a rod from each of the tribes, that means they knew what was going to happen. As far as not what God would do in the tabernacle, but they knew, they were aware that Moses was taking it, and they were conscious of that. And he put it all in the tabernacle, in the most holy of holies place. And the next morning he goes and walks in. And lo and behold, all 12 were rot, except one, whose name had Aaron on it. It was blossoming, it had almonds on it, and it was growing. And can you imagine, this is something, look, when Moses went in the next day to get it, you know all these people came out to see. You know they all nosy and want to know. They don't want secondhand information about who's getting the job here. They want to know, you know, which is like, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But in the front of all of them, God set his ordinance there saying, as Moses walked out, and Moses didn't know how God would do it. But he just followed what God wanted. And when he came out of that tabernacle, they all saw what God did, people. When God chooses a man or a woman, he's the only one that can take them out. Should have shouted. He's the only one that can take them out of that position. You might say, well, what if, you know, they make, you know, I understand all that. And God can come in and heal and do and restore. Because you see, God is the God of restoring his people. You know, you make a mistake, God can restore those things that the enemy has come to destroy your life and my life. God can restore. He's the restorer of life. He brought life to that piece of wood that had no life in it. But Aaron's rod was blossoming and budding, and almonds were growing on it, and it had no root, but its root led to the power of Almighty God, the grace of the throne room of God, and God brought life into it. Let me tell you this, what God calls you to do, do it. What God calls you to do it with everything you have, because it has been ordained by Almighty God. You might say, well, I'm just doing this and little old gate on. It does not matter. Don't look at it that way. Don't look at it that way. Look at it as you're on a mission with Almighty God to get the things of God done upon this earth before he comes, before he splits those eastern skies. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. What a day that will be. Mr. J, you might be driving that truck. I don't know what's going to happen. We ain't worried about the truck. Or Melissa. Not worried about that truck. I don't care what's in it. Just go. Just go. Let everybody else, whoever's left, handle it. Look, God is coming. Live a life that is pleasing unto him. You might say, Pastor, I have so many things that are entangling me. Let me tell you this. He's the God that can untangle those things, those webs in your heart and in my life, so that it can please him one day. He can make you into what you want, what he wants you to be. That's the kind of God you serve. He can make it that wherever you go, the glory of Almighty God can come in and shed abroad his love and his spirit, his anointing and his power upon your life and the people you're meeting with. We can't shut up. We got to open our mouths. We got to share about Jesus Christ. and what he has done at Calvary's cross, and letting the Holy Ghost, letting the Holy Spirit, letting the anointing of Almighty God creep in and do the work that needs to be done. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, what a God we serve. Can you imagine? He walks out and look. Personally, this is what I think. When I don't see it in the Word, this is just what I think. When Moses came out, he had all 12 of the other ones that were dead in one hand, and he had the one that was alive in the other. And he said, it says Aaron. It says Aaron. He's the priest. He's the one God has called. And let me tell you, what God calls, God protects. What God protects, he provides. When God provides, he will move. When God moves, the anointing, the presence, and the power of Almighty God will be there. My Lord. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. What a God we serve. Great is he, as we sang that song. Great is your God. Great is your God. Let him move. As you're doing whatever work you do, God can move upon your work to get it done to the best of your ability. That's the power of Almighty God. My Lord. That's who we serve. I want you to turn to a last scripture. Well, last scripture I'm going to read. Leviticus chapter 9, page, I think 209. Page 209. My Lord, my Lord. Ikasandaralamakusoto. Praise God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My Lord, don't forget who you're serving. You're not serving no peon God that's still in the grave. You serve the Almighty God. You serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You serve the God that conquered death, hell, and the grave. You serve the God that defeated Jericho. You serve the God. My Lord, my Lord. Oh, praise God, praise God. You're the God that can heal your body. You're the God. He's the God that can heal your body. He's the God that can provide for you. He is the God. Oh, my Lord. That has done great and mighty things. Can you imagine? When those sticks were in that place, the Holy Spirit just, my Lord, bring in life. You might have dead places in your life where you thought there was no more life, but God can resurrect. Amen. And bring life. He can bring the life that you need. Surrender, surrender to him. Look at verse 22. And it says, now Aaron's the priest, okay? And says this, and Aaron lifted up his hand towards the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. Now, this is the kicker here. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Oh, talk about Mr. Otis. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. People, we need the glory of the Lord. Amen. We need it. We're going to see things. Don't run from the glory of God. Just because you and I may not understand it, you don't run. You say, Lord, you do what they did. You fall on your face before God and say, Lord, help me. Because we don't know what God can do. God's glory filled the house. How much more, as a body of believers, the church throughout the world needs, in America, all over the place, people. It's not just America, all over. All over. We need the glory of Almighty God. We need the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory is the glory that you can see with your physical eye. You see, that's called the Shekinah glory. You can see it with your physical eye, the glory of Almighty God. Doesn't say that, but it says the glory of the Lord fell. We need the glory of Almighty God to fall and let the fire of God come in into our hearts and into our lives to change us, to motivate us, to do things on the inside of us. See, we should never want to change without the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit is not a lasting change. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can change us from the inside. Like Andrew says, you know, if you're fighting with some kind of sin, only God can take the desire out. You can fight it with your will for X amount of time. Like the wheel, you know, the internet doesn't want to, it's like I hate that thing, okay. We don't have that much anymore at home like that. Now we got the fiber, you know, that's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Captain Tail. Captain Tail. Let the glory of God work in your heart and life. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, and I know I've gone over a little bit. I can see you getting hungry. Oh man, that's tonight. That's tonight. I understand. Amen. Amen. But the glory of the Lord to be upon our lives, people. You know, it was that glory that was upon Adam and Eve before they sinned. Because you know they had no clothes. But it was the glory that covered them. And when they sinned, it broke it. And they were left with fig leaves that God made for them as they were hiding. We need the glory of God to come back to the church of the body of Christ like never before. And I tell you what, we will see things. And I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. We got to humble ourselves and let God move like he wants to move. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost be in your homes, people. Pray together, read together, whatever, that the glory of Almighty God can be there. Amen.